we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome once again to the News Quiz. We start with a headline from the Wandsworth Borough News, read by Peter Donaldson.
Meller wants chopper movements monitored.
Thank you, Chris Ketteridge of South London, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. We'll be welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Jeremy Hardy. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Andy Hamilton. Before we start round one, here's an item from the Daily Telegraph.
From last week's Solwap and Hindlip Parish News. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Johnson to come forward and lay eggs on the altar.
Thanks to Stephen Hall of Devon for sending us that. Francis, you're the first for a question, and it's this. Who decided his party wouldn't be complete unless he got one over the eight?
Well, this must be that great party-goer, John Major Ball. Yes. As he's called. He's made him another Major Balls up. Who, a few months ago, for no apparent reason, expelled a lot of people from his party. And he said, you can't come back until you say you're sorry, until you say you never do it again. And they've sat there saying, we're not sorry and we're going to do it all the time. And he says, oh, right, you can come back then. I think that's happened.
That sums it up awfully well, I think. This refers to the decision of a small group of unpopular, demoralised MPs to cave in and ask if they could rejoin Theresa Gorman's party. On her return to the fold, Theresa Gorman said that they all felt like they were coming back from the moon, except, of course, for Teddy Taylor, who still feels he's on another planet. Jeremy, good to have you with us again. Who's talking without waving their arms?
The Sinn Féin.
That's right.
Have agreed to enter talks with Her Majesty's Government, the political wing of the British Army.
Negotiation by other means.
John Major's faced up to the fact that the last time the IRA handed over weapons to him, it made a bit of a mess of his patio furniture. Patrick Mayhew has accepted that through the course of a series of communications which must remain controversial, Sinn Féin have offered a form of words which give a positive and substantive answer to the government's question, which is, what about next week then, boys?
That's it. This is the government's decision to have official talks with Sinn Féin, who will discuss the decommissioning of IRA weapons in exchange for being allowed to demand that Ulster be demilitarised. It's hoped that the talks will rapidly progress to discussing how best to deal with the whole peace package and just how long it should be left in the bucket of water. Andy, nice to have you with us. Whose win was quelle surprise?
Well, they had a bit of a turn-up during the French elections because the first ballot was won by a kind of mediocre man who nobody took seriously. Rings a few bells, really, doesn't it? But Lionel Jospin, which is, it's Lionel, that's his name. Lionel. He's just trying to hide it with a silly accent. And this is a familiar, and we shouldn't get too excited, because I remember when I started out writing for radio that this is a familiar French ritual, which is that in the first ballot, they all vote for the slightly more progressive sort of lefty candidate so that they can sort of all go down the calves and have intellectual conversations about social renewal. But in the second ballot, they all creep out and vote for the goalists. So it's a bit like, you know, when we all used to say that, yes, actually, I thought I'd give the Liberal Democrats a chance this time when we really voted for Margaret Thatcher. You know?
This was the first round of the French elections, which saw a surprise rise in the fortunes of the extreme far right, or as we know them here, the Labour Party. Most votes went to socialist Lionel Jospin, who was so unprepared for success he didn't have any champagne in the fridge. He'll never make it as a socialist here. You have to be an Islington joke. Alan, quelle surprise. Here's a piece of music for you.
She flies like a bird. Oh me, oh my.
Well, that was obviously I Can't Let Maggie Go by the Honey Bus. Your question is, who knows what he likes to a T?
I haven't the faintest idea. This is a Thatcher question, is it?
Yeah. Come on, Andy, help him out. He's been in France. You've been in France, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
It's what I was talking about earlier. Tony Blair revealed that he actually voted for her in the last three elections. Sorry, that's right. He, what he did was he said that he didn't agree with everything she said. But you had to admire her determination. He said that was a quality. And then he kind of stuck on this woman's dress and shouted rejoice. But is he?
I don't even know whether he's anywhere near. Is it making any sense at all?
It was an interview. Blair said he admired Thatcher.
And you read the stuff about Cherry Blair.
Oh. Well, what was the stuff about Cherry Blair?
She comes in silk bloomers and fishnet stockings, and they're trying to attract the elder Conservatives, I think. Well, now they have all the young Conservatives in their party, they want to get the older ones. So his wife dresses up and wears wigs.
Oh, yes.
I saw that, and a man's white bow.
This concerns the leader of the new Labour Party, Tony Blair, who confessed that he admires Margaret Thatcher. It's nice to see there's one area where he differs from John Major. Mr. Blair, or as he's now known, the Iron Laddie. Thank you, Scotsman in the audience. Stressed that he didn't agree with everything she said. After all, he said, we are a socialist. In his interview, he agreed that when Labour was last in power in the 1970s, the British electorate were asking for change, whereas in the 1990s, most of them are out asking for small change. And the scores at the end of round one are interesting, if not staggering, because Alan and Andy have scored two, but on the other hand, Francis and Jeremy are in the lead with four. We start round two with a cutting from the Harrogate Advertiser.
Taxi drivers, undertakers and car drivers have criticised the sudden wave of sleeping policemen on roads across Harrogate. Funeral director Mr. Hubert Swainson said his drivers were now taking alternative routes to avoid roads with the humps. They're a confounded nuisance and very uncomfortable for passengers.
Francis, your question again. Who won the lottery without blood, sweat or tears?
Oh, well, this is this chap who's been caught, I think, now, in a lottery fraud.
Yes, it is.
These people, they've been scratching off the winning numbers to pinch the best tickets for themselves, so the poor punters don't get a chance. So the poor punters shell out 13 million quid, and the winner turns out to be this rather rich Tory MP. By an amazing coincidence. Well, actually, two rather rich Tory MPs. There's Winston Churchill and Nicholas Soames.
And so for a moment, you're going to say Nicholas Parsons.
Winston Churchill Jr., young Winston, yes, has sold off his grandfather's papers for, it's actually 20 million quid before tax, and has collared all this lottery money to pay for his divorce, as far as I can see. And he said that he's very glad to have all these millions and it won't change his life, but it will change his wife.
Yes, that was worth waiting for. Jeremy, which doctor's orders led to sleepless nights?
This doctor's been fighting a 6-year battle with Camden and Islington Health Authority to get compensation for overwork, and he suddenly caved in just a week before going to court to get final victory. He suddenly caved in and accepted this derisory £5,000 out of court, which shows that health authorities are experts in wearing doctors down till they're incapable of making rational decisions. And Labour's been gloating over this victory, going on about how they've beaten him, and it's sick-making. And because this man actually crashed his car, he collapsed. He was so tired after a 111-hour working week. He crashed his car, collapsed at wheel, and presumably they thought, well, they're sleeping in the car, that's bendy, isn't it?
Absolutely right. This concerns junior doctor Chris Johnston, who won out-of-court damages for having to work up to 112 hours a week. The doctor once managed just 30 minutes sleep in a 34-hour shift. He got so tired, people could almost read his handwriting. Andy, here's some music for you.
Love and marriage, love and marriage. It's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary.
Andy, who wants to slow quickies down?
This is the proposed changes to our divorce law, which are going to cause a lot of emotional hardship and suffering for solicitors, especially. The idea is that instead of going off and seeing a solicitor, you go and see a mediator. I actually moonlight as one of these mediators. It's very simple. You get the man in, you get the woman in, and you sit them down, you say, pull yourself together. That's basically what you do. And I didn't last in the job, though. I don't know why. Anyway, the gist of it is that they're going to bring in no-blame divorce, which, I mean, what is the point of getting divorced if you can't blame each other? I think that would just take all the fun out of it, and that's the idea. Personally, I think human nature may beat that one.
Let you pick the bones out of that. These are the proposals to change the rules on quickie divorces. Lord Mackay, the Lord Chancellor, launched his white paper at a press conference on Thursday. It was slightly marred when a camera flash went off and he leapt up and offered to buy the negatives. Alan, whose turn was it to be over here and overpaid but not over-awarded?
It's not another one about Thatcher, is it? No. What is it about American soldiers?
No, not American soldiers, but...
People are coming over here from America and not being rewarded properly for coming.
That's right, yes.
Well, I don't know who they are. Who are these people who are coming? Is it people who are they...
To bloody answer the thing, not ask questions.
It's just a different way of answering, that's all.
It is, it is.
These are film people, are they?
What? Is it Tony Curtis at the BAFTAs coming over and not getting even any respect?
being forced to do a line of talcum powder in the
through a forged note.
I'd like to know the answer to this thing.
I'm not bothered, really.
This was the BAFTA award ceremony when it was Britain's chance to return the hospitality offered at the Oscars by inviting a load of guests over from Hollywood and giving them a turn at not winning anything. Blockbusters like Pulp Fiction and Forrest Gump were disqualified after it was discovered that American producers had cheated by paying money to the actors. Thank you, Sir Alec. The most popular winner was, of course, Hugh Grant, who got Best Actor, who is very English. This was presented by Liz Hurley, the well-known Liz Hurley. She wore another of her famous gowns, and everybody agreed, what a prize-winning couple they are. Scores at the end of round two. Alan and Andy have scored 5, but Francis and Jeremy are still in the lead with 8. We start round 3 with an item from the Gloucester Citizen sent to us by Gillian Manning of Gloucester.
Deputy Chief Constable Nigel Birch warned today that the performance figures reflect a very complex situation. No two forces are alike, and the targets set by them vary. The picture on answering 999 calls is a distorted one. We respond to letters from the public more quickly.
Francis, your question again. Who gingered things up for Auntie?
Ginger Evans?
Yes, that's right.
Duke Hussey's favourite DJ, who has been signed up to present a programme, I believe, on the wireless.
Yes. We are speaking in Broadcasting House. It is the wireless in here still.
It's very odd because in the evening on television they have this thing called the watershed, and you're meant to keep the smut until after the watershed, but on radio, because only intelligent adults listen, I suppose, they don't have such things. So at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, Chris Evans has these stunts where he rings women up and says, are you in bed with your boyfriend? And then asks them to do things with a lollipop. I don't really want to go into it. Sounds quite disgusting to me. I listened to one day of it and that was quite enough. But he plays quite good music, funnily enough. If only they didn't have this wretched disc jockey cluttering the thing up, it would be rather a good programme.
Is it beat music we've heard so much about?
I think it is. There was a certain amount of jitterbugging going on in my house. They've got a very funny advertising campaign for Radio 1 as well, because they're paying Chris Evans, I think, well, 2 and 6 pence, the usual BBC radio rates. But they've got a very big advertising campaign saying, listen to Radio 1. And it features employees of Radio 1 saying, the security guard says, I've got lots of ideas for this station, but Matthew Bannister never listens to them. And this is meant to make you turn on. And yeah, Chris Evans. I don't quite follow the logic, but of course advertising is a very sophisticated medium, which is beyond the wit of people like me.
I can't see this question and answer making it to the programme. Have I? This is Chris Evans, brought in to say Radio 1 with a mixture of great music, chaos and bad jokes. There's also a competition called Do the Wrong Thing, where children have to answer questions incorrectly to win. This got off to a bad start when a 4-year-old not only correctly guessed how many people listen to Radio 1, but also managed to name them. Jeremy, here's a piece of music for you.
Better than Chris Evans, isn't it?
It is. The question is, what notable lock-up should lead to a couple of lock-ups?
Oh, yes. In Bow, 200 yards from a police station, they found £18 million in fake cash. Yes, 200 yards from a police station, which is about £900,000 a yard, I think. And they showed these pictures in the papers of a horse sniffing the boot of this car with all this money in it, which created a false impression that it was actually a sniffer horse used for hunting. And the police are keen to point out that horses are not used for sniffing out counterfeit money. They're, in fact, used for trampling elderly protesters in small seaside towns. Yeah, it's fake wonga.
That's right. This refers to £80 million worth of forged notes found in East London. Information leading to the raids was gathered by police intelligence. Now, there's an expression you don't hear every day. Who feared worthless pieces of paper would be foisted upon a gullible public. So they probably have been in the newsagents recently. Andy, who helped us to stop crying over spilt milk?
This is the raging controversy over whether they can phase out milk in cartons. And there's nothing very interesting to say about it other than those dreadful accursed cartons that sort of give you a triple hernia trying to get them open. They're going to phase them out and bring in these sort of whizzo ones that you can open just by looking at them. And they're remote controlled and they respond to the sound of your voice. That's the gist of that story.
That's right. It's all about Tesco's, who noticed that milk cartons aren't all that easy to open. They put a team of experts on the job and came up with a revolutionary replacement. It's made of glass and it's called the milk bottle. Alan, yes. How did EU get up our nose?
It's a European manure mountain. And to celebrate Teddy Taylor and all the rest of the freaks coming back to form a government, the Europeans evacuated the bowels of all their animals just outside Dover. And there was prevailing wind, and there was much rejoicing. The Euro train stopped. Teddy Taylor was indeed at Southend at the time. Ran to the end of the pier, and opened his nostrils and took it all in. And it was really all to do with manure, as most things are when it comes to the European Union. And it happened on Tuesday. I threw open my windows when I read it, because my grandfather always told me that you could actually hear the guns firing on the Somme from Manor House, which is where he lived. And I thought it's probably the same with Eurostink. Throw open the windows in Cricklewood, you can probably see. I didn't catch a whiff at all. But people all over the south coast were retching.
That's right.
Or happy with it, I don't know. I'm not one of this young generation that sniffs things that makes them happy.
This refers to a dreadful smell which covered Britain from Essex to Birmingham and caused many people to fear they'd suddenly become downwind of Bernard Manning. Weathermen claimed the odour was made by German industry, which seems to be rubbing it in a bit. It's been years since British industry made anything, let alone a nasty smell. And the scores at the end of round three are Andy and Alan 9, but Francis and Jeremy still in the lead with 12. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the Daily Mail.
Leslie Pierce left home and moved to London when she was 16 to become a bunny girl. She went on to marry an East End club owner with whom she had a daughter and then a lorry driver.
Francis, have a listen to this.
Mud, mud, glorious mud. Nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow. And there let us wallow in glorious mud.
Question is, whose muddy tracks caused a blazing row?
I think this is probably British Rail,
yes,
which had a fire. This is not the British Rail story involving fleas, which is a quite separate matter, where a passenger said, oh, my son's got a flea bite, and they evacuated the entire train and found no fleas there. But this was a fire on the line, as one often has, and they used the wrong sort of fire extinguisher, as is their wont, which turned out to be mud. Glorious mud.
They couldn't. No, they couldn't use the fire extinguishers. They would be disciplined if they used fire extinguishers.
They're not allowed to.
No. Yeah. I like those old fire buckets with sand in, which are used mainly for vomit. And the because I always think that makes all the difference to vomit, really. You know, a bit of sand and you can stand in it quite happily, can't you?
How did she know the flea was on the train? How did you know her son didn't get on the train with the flea? I mean, how big a flea was this?
She didn't know. She was just guessing. She just wanted to make trouble, which she did. She managed to sabotage the entire South Western Railway service for a day.
That was her, was it? I see. I'm wrong still, sort of passenger.
It was I'm still enjoying the phrase when Alan was talking about farm animals evacuating their bowels. It's a vision of people sending their bowels to live in Wales until the war's over. Packing them off with little tags and duffel coats.
This woman evacuated an entire train. I'm single-handed, as it were. Just because of a flea.
This is a story of a trackside fire at Kent's Beckenham Junction, which British Rail's South Eastern Train Company workers put out with mud. A notice on a nearby rail track fire extinguisher forbade its use in any but rail tracks fires. Do you believe it? Staff said they knew it was a BR fire when they realised it had been scheduled for the 5th of November last year. A British Rail spokesman explained the workers couldn't use the obvious method to put out the fire because they were standing in the station at the time. Jeremy.
Yes.
Whose love life was a load of rubbish?
Oh, this is Perv Man, isn't it? There's a perv man, and he used to be into paving slabs at
That's
one time,
yes.
Which gives a new slant to curb crawling. And, yes, found a crack in the pavement and was away. And, anyway. Or was it a manhole? Here, no. Now he's gotten keen on bin liners. He has sex with bin liners, but I'm not clear on this, whether he has, I mean, sex in the sense of they are his partners, or sex in the sense of sex with the bin liner as in sex with the condom. You know, using it as a protective device if you're having sex with the pavement and don't want to catch the disease. Well, of course, when I was a teenager, sex with a condom did mean sex with a condom. Nobody else was involved. But no, he has sex with people's rubbish, and that's why when you pull the bag up, it all falls out the bottom, because this man's been round your bins.
It is the bin liner. The bin liner is his significant other, isn't it? It is actually. That is how it works,
right.
I believe.
I wondered if he'd seen the female condom and misunderstood the idea.
Yes. This is about Carl Watkins, who was prosecuted for making love to dustbin bags left outside the collection.
Love?
What?
Do
you call that love?
I'm sorry, did you say love? I mean, is this dustbin bag always there for him, or what? What? Is that what you've got written down there?
It's just bin it, bag it, and forget it for him.
Look, I can't sit here discussing the rights or wrongs of a man having it off with a dustbin bag, can I? The whole thing's ludicrous. This is all about Carl Watkins, who was prosecuted for having it off with a dustbin bag. Watkins also tried to get inside a wheelie bin and developed a crush on a dust cart. He was picked up at his house early on Thursday morning, but police dropped him halfway down the garden path. Oh, dear. Andy, whose disputed claws will make the fur fly in court?
It's all about custody of two cats. And the judge has ruled that the cats are going to be brought into court. The Cat Protection League, who are this gang of racketeers who go around stealing cats and demanding money for them. No, I believe they're a charitable organisation. They thought the cats weren't looking very well in somebody's garden, and they took them away, and the owners of the cats want them back, and the judge has ruled that the cats will be brought into the court, and whichever voices the cats respond to, I believe they're going to... So, you know, I mean, it's obviously a very sort of efficient way of dispensing justice. I think that they should do that in child custody cases, really, shouldn't they? Which voice in there? A bit sort of Solomon-like ruling.
These two cats are to be produced in court to see if Mrs. Bridget O'Neill, who claims to be their owner, can identify them as hers.
Sorry, I can't understand that. That's a different slant from Andy's story. Of course the woman will identify the cats as hers. He said the cats have got to identify the woman. It's very easy to identify a cat as yours. You say, that's my cat. I don't understand.
What they're going to do is they're going to say, look, Lucky. The judge is going to say Lucky. They're getting
Plucky.
Lucky and Plucky. There's two. They're related. And they get... Lucky may know this woman, because it happened a while back, but Plucky is quite young, I believe. So they're going to get Lucky in the witness box, and they're going to say, do you recognise that woman? One meow for yes, two meows for no.
They'll blindfold the cats.
Yes.
Alan, what has eight legs, one joint, and no cares?
I did see that. There's a dispute over spiders. An arachnologist and a drug expert with sod all else to do with his grant money has been getting spiders to sniff things.
That's right.
And there were four photographs in the Telegraph showing a web, as it should be, done by a proper spider, no job too large or small. Let us quote you, webs day and night. Next to it, there was one that was half finished. And the one that was half finished was the spider that was on cannabis. And it just stopped halfway through and went home. And flies hit it and went straight on through. So it starved, but it didn't mind, because it... The third one was cocaine, and it was in oblongs, like a Mondrian painting. And the fourth one was the best. The fourth one, it had only done about one thread, and that was caffeine. Coffee is the one thing that makes spiders knock off.
Yes.
Makes them go. No, it's not. It makes us go.
Yes,
human
yes.
beings, they don't have prostate spiders. Couldn't fit it in. There's no room in a spider.
I bet the spider who they gave him the cocaine and did the oblong wig was sitting there saying, that's the best web there's ever been.
Cannabis one's going, oh, do you reckon we can catch a Kit Kat in this web?
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis, have you brought a cutting for us?
Yes, Barry, I have. This is from the South Wales Evening Post, the letters page, which is helpfully entitled The Column You Write. It's a letter from a Mr. Jones saying, Mansleton is riddled with dog mess. It's in every street and on every corner. Near the flats on Brynfrid Square, it's landscaped and looks very pretty. But I wouldn't let a child play there.
Right. Jeremy?
This is from the Overseas Jobs Express. With only people murdered at this year's Rio Carnival, the event was described as one of the most peaceful in recent years.
Andy, what have you brought for us?
Well, Mr. A. Kershaw from York sent this. It's in the Lancashire Evening Telegraph, and it's Ron's reply, which is a sort of reply to questions about nature. And he says, with regard to the squirrel... We now do have a few red squirrels in the Ribble Valley. The best way to tell the difference between reds and greys is to look at their ears.
Handy hint for animal lovers there. Alan?
Well, I have a wonderful piece of pure logic from the Bucks Free Press.
Oh.
Very appealing. There's a Chalfont St. Peter man was fined a total of £1,200 by Beaconsfield magistrates on Wednesday for claiming unemployment benefit while he was working. Derek Hale told the court that he'd been forced to take a job because he had found it impossible to live on unemployment benefits.
Thank you all. That cheery note, let's look at the final scores. It's very simple because Alan and Andy have got 13, but Francis and Jeremy have remained in the lead throughout. 16, this week's winners. Well done, gents. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from The Sun, sent in by Russell Buer of Exmouth.
Olga Rudzinski stripped naked in a shopping centre to punish her husband for staring at girls in short skirts. Fining Olga, a magistrate in Krakow, Poland, told her that at 83 she was old enough to know better.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Green, Alan Corran, Jeremy Hardy and Andy Hamilton. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson. The producer was Alan Evans.